Welcome to A Second Helping with Allison Bartow, a wedding photography podcast with a focus on second shooting. On this week's episode, we are featuring Just a Second Wedding, huge beautiful flower installations, live music, including a cellist, a groom that doesn't seem to want portraits, and a really dark dance floor.
It is Saturday afternoon, about 3:45. I am on my way to Lancaster to go to Harvest Grill to shoot a rehearsal dinner. And one of the reasons I'm excited about this is because it is for the couple that I am second shooting for their wedding tomorrow. So normally I don't really know the couple until I show up for the wedding. Occasionally I'll be involved in like a consultation call in advance, not normally, but she wanted to have her rehearsal dinner photographed and get some family photos. Megan has another wedding today, so she was kind enough to recommend me, so I am going to do that now. And I'm excited because I'll have a couple of hours to get to know them, and I feel like that makes my job easier on the day of the wedding. Previously, and I want to say this was, 8 years ago, one of the first weddings, small weddings that I photographed, I volunteered to shoot their rehearsal dinner the night before. And one of the reasons was that the bride had said the groom, I don't know if he, I think he was like slightly on the autism spectrum. And she said he was just really uncomfortable and this would be like a good chance for him to kind of get warmed up and kind of used to like posing and stuff like that. So I was like, absolutely. It just seemed like a win-win. I don't think I charged them because I could see the benefit in it for me. The rehearsal dinner was at a venue that I was very familiar with, but we had the rehearsal dinner. I got to meet the parents and her siblings, and we did portraits of just the bride and groom to be. And the groom then was way more comfortable the day of the wedding, and he liked me, so he felt like safe and comfortable with me. It made my job easier. So I have all good feelings and memories of that. So I'm really looking forward to today because, you know, normally I'm going in the day of and I'm just showing up and they're already in the throes of everything and, you know, deep in the heart of wedding stuff. So it'll just be nice. It is raining. It's been raining all day long. We didn't have any rain yesterday, and right now there isn't any forecast in the rain for tomorrow. So that works out great for me because the rehearsal dinner is just in a restaurant. So that's it. I'm going to go do that for a couple hours, come home, just charge things up, give them a little top off, and be ready for tomorrow morning. And it will be, I think I'm leaving a little after 10 a.m. tomorrow. The wedding is at the Cork Factory Hotel in Lancaster. I've never shot there. It's one of the venues that has been on my list. So I'm excited for a new venue. I will be shooting with Megan. I want to say this is my fifth wedding with her. So I'm pretty familiar with her expectations and what she's looking for. So I think that's another reason why I'm excited, because she is very, very customer service oriented. She is the photographer I shoot for that would rather me put my camera down to assist them with things just to make them happy and their day run smoothly, because she's that customer service oriented. So I feel like me getting to know them a little bit ahead of time will work very well with her style of shooting and treating her customers. So that's it. I will read through. I didn't read through the timeline for tomorrow very much yet because I had a wedding last night with Dave and I didn't want to confuse any of the details and or their names. So I really kind of like to focus on the one wedding, get that finished, and then look at the other wedding details, because I think we've all called the groom by the wrong name. Like once or twice. It's normally after I get a little bit tired. So I just want to avoid that if at all possible. So, all right, I'll be back. So, you know that girl who's like, oh yeah, come over. It's casual. You don't have to get dressed up. It's just casual. And then you get there and she's in a ball gown. This was the wedding equivalent of that. So I got to the venue a little bit before Megan. And so we were there an hour and a half before our official start time to move stuff in. And we were talking and she said something like, oh, it's their second wedding. And I was like, I know she said that. And I was like, but yet it doesn't really feel like this is the second wedding. And Megan's like, oh my gosh, I know. So many times we heard, oh, we've both been married before. And then this ended up being one of the most beautiful weddings I've attended as a photographer this year. Maybe ever. I mean, it was done really, really well, and not an expense was spared. So it wasn't like, oh, we're going to do our vows and just have a little party. Like, it was a full blown start to finish, turned out wedding. So, and they'd rented like the bridal suite. When we got there, Megan wasn't sure if, you know, they were going to have the bridal suite. They had the whole bridal suite. It was really nice. The location was the Cork Factory Hotel, and it's almost like a little campus of buildings, and there's other businesses in there, but it's very pretty, a lot of brick, so very, very warm colors. We go up to the bridal suite. We went up there early, and Megan started putting everything together for her flat lays, and we had some of the guy's stuff, so I did what I could. All I had were his shoes, a tie, his vow book, a watch, and some cologne. So I only had those things to work with. So I just did a bunch of variations on that. But she was getting her hair done, and the bride was serious. Like, she wasn't like blowing the day off or just being really laid back about it. Dress was beautiful. We're moving along. We're well ahead of schedule. And the florist brings in the flowers and they look gorgeous. They were all deep, deep reds and burgundies and beautiful flowers. Dahlias, double heart roses, leucodendron, just gorgeous. So we're working away and we hear the bride say, like, that bouquet is not what I wanted. And they said, which bouquet? Luckily her bouquet was fine. It was the daughter's bouquet. And so I had my back to them and I kept my back to them. I just kept working. And so they started passing around a phone with a picture and they were the same flowers, but she had wanted something simpler and they had like gone bigger and added more flowers around it. And so they called the florist and she ended up making a new bouquet and bringing it over. And that's when Megan and I both realized, like, this is not just a second wedding. We realized that all throughout the day. It just kept kind of hammering the point home. I went down to the guy's suite and it was another really nice large room. Now, it was painted gray and lots of wood in there, so darker. It had some natural light, but it's still tough because you're just getting directional light from the windows. I was able to get some shots of the guys playing pool and stuff. The only person who wasn't in good light was the groom. He was sitting on a stool half in front of a window, so he was like backlit. He was in silhouette. So I did what I could. And Megan came in, we were going over the timeline with them. And we were saying, like, be dressed by 3, and then we're going to do this and this. And the groom was like, I'll be dressed by 3:30. That's good. And we were like, yeah, but, you know, we need to have the boys dressed first, and then they're going to help you get dressed, and we'll take pictures of that. And he's like, yeah, 3:30 is fine. And he's like, I don't want the boys getting dressed earlier. And he kept saying it, he didn't want anything to get messed up, but the boys are grown men. They're 22 and 24 years old. One is like a military police officer. So Megan and I had a plan for the portraits I was going to do outside with him. And so I'm just kind of hanging out, taking some candid photos. His dad was there, some relatives. So there were a handful of people. It was fine. The room looked great. It wasn't, you know, really messy. And then half an hour before they're supposed to like start getting dressed or kind of be dressed, one by one, they're like, all right, I'm going to go shower. I'm going to go. And they left and went back to the hotel that's on the property. You know, it's the venue where they're getting married. But I didn't realize that they were waiting to shower until right before they got dressed. So I just cruised over to the bridal suite and kind of let Megan know. I got back at 3. They weren't changed yet. So I just kind of snapped any candids that I could. And also just to have the timestamps of like what was going on. And then they were a little bit aggravated because the venue, and they're not the only venue that does this, but they want the bridal suite emptied out when you leave for the ceremony. And Loch Airy was a venue that they wanted that, but they had like lockers outside. So it was like, hey, we're going to lock up this room, but you can put everything that you want to come back and get right here. But most venues, it's just awkward timing because it's like, okay, get all dressed, get ready to go. You're going to walk out to your ceremony. But before that, get everything out. So they started making trips down to the car and they had to carry the cooler and not get water all over themselves. And then the girls needed their cooler carried down. And so time was just ticking and ticking and ticking. And it was, I mean, it went right up until like 4 o'clock and the ceremony is at 4:30. So finally I was just like, I have to go like get my light set up. And the groom was nice. There was nothing wrong, but he wasn't in the mindset of like wanting to go have portraits taken. I think he just had a lot on his mind. And I think I said to Megan at one point too, like he was like the only parent and he had his two boys and his soon to be stepson. So it was like, I think it was like when you feel like you're kind of the only adult, then you're responsible for 3 other people. So I feel like that was kind of the mentality that was going on. And I get that. And I was just really trying to pay attention to where he was and I wasn't going to push someone to go take portraits. So I went over and I let Megan know and she was like, okay. And I explained what happened and she said, you know, thanks for letting me know. And I said, I've got pictures of like all through. I try to get organic pictures. So I have them like legitimately putting the ties on each other, pinning boutonnieres, tying their shoes. They're not staged. They're not going to be like beautiful portraits. I tried to get, you know, any light coming in, but that's also not the look Megan wants. We talked about it. She wants a nice, really even light. And I was working with window light and wherever they kind of were, and I would move myself around. So that was a little bit nerve wracking because I never want to let down the person I'm working for. The ceremony space was gorgeous. So when I went in, they had done, they'd done greenery on the chandeliers. There was a whole floor installation on the fireplace. The aisles were lined with gold painted leaves and cylinder candles. Nothing caught on fire at this wedding. They had 4 musicians playing music, and then they had a cellist who also sang a really beautiful song during the ceremony. And it was a very nice ceremony. It was like the perfect length. I don't know if it was like 20 minutes, but it was nice. It didn't fly by, but it wasn't, you know, a full mass. That all went well. And then we did family pictures, and Megan was thinking there were a lot more, and she had a wedding yesterday, so it kind of blurs. And so we really only had like 12 groupings. And it was kind of nice because the wedding party was essentially the immediate family. It was just their kids, the bride and groom's siblings, their parents, siblings, spouses, that kind of thing. So we moved quickly through that. And then we went outside with the bride and groom and their 4 kids and did some group portraits and individual portraits there. Now, we didn't do any individual portraits of the groom. Hopefully that's not a problem. But again, like he really didn't seem like he was in the mood to do it earlier. The room decor, in addition to everything that was there for the ceremony, the tables had, there were 4 long farm tables, which were rented. They brought in tables. And those just had like beautiful runners with greenery and cylinder candles all down them. And then all of the rounds had elevated huge, beautiful centerpieces on gold pedestals. So not cheap by any means. We said to one of the venue ladies, both venue ladies were very nice. Everybody at the venue was very nice. And I remarked how, like, you know, a lot of places have the tables all set. They just have to move them in. And I looked around and I could see that there weren't any doors that could have allowed. And so they said, no, we had to flip the room and like set all the tables and do everything. And then she said, each setting had a individualized menu and a place card. So obviously, normally when you come in, you look on the sign, oh, I'm at table 3, grab my little place card, and then I sit down wherever I want at table 3. This was assigned seating to the seat, and they had to put all of those out and do menu cards in the napkins. And it was, you know, but again, it's no big deal. We've both been married before. And it was just beautiful. It was really, really nice. The bride and groom were, I think their portraits are going to be really gorgeous. They're, you know, very attractive. Her dress was stunning. It was just, it fit her very well. There wasn't any boob tape sticking out. She didn't have a bad tan going on. Her makeup was beautiful. Her hair was like pulled back and up. The dress was just like that beaded dress. It's like heavy in a good way. And it just was really nice. She had gorgeous shoes. And Megan, she's different than any other photographer that I work with. Like, she still does like Kelvin for her white balance, and everyone else I work with were just on auto white balance. So I dialed that in, and then I was nervous because I was like, I'm going to forget to change it when we like move outside. But I remembered that, thank goodness, the whole time. And there's something else. And I did remember to change it. She just wants RAW. She doesn't want JPEG. So I made that adjustment. And I really only shot with my 35, my 50, and my 85 for the ceremony. She said, just shoot with my 85. So I really didn't even open my lens bag because I carried those three lenses on me. And for her lighting, because she likes things brighter, I don't think she likes like the phrase light and airy, but brighter. She likes even light. So like I said, that was the feedback she'd given me. Like when I put grooms in like the hotel window light, she doesn't like when there's like the fall off. She would rather they be further away from the window and just have even light. So I was like, oh, okay, absolutely. I can do that. I totally was just thinking you wanted natural light and that was the goal. So that was good to know. So I can make that adjustment. But for the flash, she wanted it like really, we had our flashes gelled. This room was brick walls, timber ceilings, wooden dance floor, orange up lighting, orange chandelier candles. It was just very, very warm. And so the way she had the lighting set, the flash, the photos looked like they were very blue, but she's going to obviously edit them the way that, you know, she likes them to come out. So I will be very curious to see what the final image looks like, because I feel like most people I shoot with, you're trying to get like the warm colors of the room, so it's like true to the room, but I think she wants them like much brighter. So I really just tried to make sure I kept my settings at that levels that we had kind of reviewed and okayed. I just kept checking to make sure things weren't getting too blown out. The guests were all great. The children were great. There was one little boy, Finley, who is almost 3. He was so well behaved. He was at the welcome dinner last night. He was really great tonight. DJs were easy to work with. I mean, and again, there were a fair amount of vendors. There wasn't a videographer, but you know, you had all these musicians, 2 DJs. I guess it was like the DJ and his assistant. There was a nacho bar at the end of the night, beautiful 4-tier cake. The bride made all of the gum paste roses for the cake herself. And I was so funny because it's like, it's just our second. We've both been married before, but I'm going to have a beautiful, huge 4-tier cake. So it was just, like I said, no corners were cut, and it was all done very, very well. The dance floor didn't get too crazy. They did do speeches, which were very nice. They did not do first dances. And what else did they not do? I feel like there was something else they cut out. But they did do speeches. And then they even had prizes. They had door prizes for, like, people who came the furthest, people who came the closest, people who, like, all of these different things. And then they also did the, like, table, I forget what it's called. I want to call it a scramble, but it's where they just play the one song and you go from table to table. And it's so much easier than trying to just get regular table shots. And that worked really, really well. And that was it. There was no drama, but, you know, it was hopefully, my big concern was just not having those individual groom portraits because, you know, we normally have them. And Megan's also very particular about what she wants in those groom portraits. So it is what it is. And we wrapped up at 9 and I'm on my way home Sunday night. And it's a Sunday night wedding, so like the guests kind of started to peel off at reasonable times. So it just kind of like wound down. And I'm assuming the reception, I didn't even look at the time to see if it was like till 9 or 10 officially for them. Probably till 10, but maybe just 9. I'll be curious to go through the photos and see what they look like.
Hi, this wedding was actually a month ago, and I received the final gallery from Megan a couple of days ago, which is cool because normally I don't get to see the final images before I record the end of the podcast. So for this wedding, I shot 1,683 images over 8.5 hours, which came out to 163 per hour, which is right where I like to be for Megan. When I think about the wedding, the first two things that come to mind are the dark dance floor and the groom not wanting to get dressed at the time we wanted so that we could get portraits. The dark dance floor, I started doing like more and more research. I've been messing with my settings and trying different things. I feel like I'm seeing some improvement. I'm using the autofocus low light illuminator, and I'm using the Starlight Live View on my Z8. And so I'm just kind of working away to see what can improve it. The thing I need to try next is using single point continuous instead of like eye detect. So I'm going to try that. For the final gallery, it was really cool to see because I had mentioned before, it's a very like warm, just a lot of brick, orange, terracotta colors. And that's not how Megan likes her ideal venue. But she was able to edit it so it comes out like exactly like her style. And it was very beautiful. I was relieved to see that in the final gallery, you have some bride portraits in the getting ready space. And then my candid shots of him getting ready with his two sons and his stepson are in there. So it kind of blended nicely. It didn't seem like a jarring omission that he didn't have posed portraits. So that was a relief. And the dancing pictures, they came out. I mean, there aren't a ton in the album, but there are enough. And there was, during the end of the reception, the bride had changed into her sneakers. So I was shooting low, trying to get that image. And Megan just saw me shooting low. And she was like, "Don't shoot up." And I was like, "Okay." So I stopped. But what I love to see was that I actually did get a few images that were what I was going for. And a couple of them are in the final album of her showing off her fancy bridal shoes. So that made me happy. And my big takeaways were making some adjustments to low light. Other than that, I feel like we handled everything the best way that we could for the day. The couple, like I said, were very lovely. It was so funny, the "it's just a second wedding," because it was an absolutely stunning day. So tune in next week when I recap another wedding. Get ready, get set, let's go. If we never go, we'll never know. Oh. If you're still listening, it means you made it through the whole episode. Thank you. If you haven't already, please subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening. And if you would give us an honest rating and review, I would love that as well. Thank you so much.
Let's pack a bag and follow the sun. Kick off your shoes and have some fun.
Thanks for listening to A Second Helping. Please like and subscribe.